What's up, everybody? Shotgun Mulligan podcast. Sitting there with my boy CC Stats, Masters Week. What's up, brother? How's it going?
Masters Week is here. I got the Masters hat on. I got the Masters koozie ready to go.
Silly.
Fired up. Live from the vines here.
Live from the vines. Charlottesville, baby.
Your boy CC Stats is on the road this week, folks. Hanging out in good old Charlottesville, home of UVA, for those that don't know that. Yeah, just hanging out down here for a couple days.
And if you guys see,
sucked. It's raining.
If you get to see the video that I will post on this one, you got the little lawn back there, a little representing UVA there, brother.
I know. If I had some good Wi-Fi connection, I'd go sit on the rotunda steps. Truly, I'd be a collegiate sitting there on the steps with me and my boy TJ. Maybe he'd give me some good picks for the week.
It's gonna be tough. We'll see. Picks wise, you want to just go? Let's roll into it, man. You got any thoughts about like some sleepers? Or you got any give me two top dogs that you've put something in and two sleepers? Because I got some
two top dogs. Yeah, firing it up here. Scheffler's hard. It's hard for me not to pick him, but I'm actually gonna stay away from him.
Yeah, I thought the same.
So. I like Zalatoris. I think he's been still playing pretty consistent. I haven't put a ton in yet, put a few in. So I'll give you my sleepers because top dogs, I think you can't go wrong with Scheffler. Can't go wrong with Cam Smith's been playing really well. And I'll be honest, I know he hasn't played well in majors over the past couple of years. I wouldn't say well, but he hasn't kind of gotten off the schneid is Justin Thomas.
Right.
I mean, the dude is – I think his worst finish in the past 6 months is like 33rd. But so I think those are good picks. Here's my couple sleeper picks.
Tiger.
$2 pays. What'd you say?
Tiger.
yes, I did put Tiger in.
We can't really call it a sleep. He's top dog, but it's just questionable. We'll see.
Yeah. $2 pays 262. Kevin Na.
Yes, I did too. Let's go. Supporting the guests, man.
We heard it last week. He's finished well there the past few years.
He's had two top 12s. He's had two 12s or something. T12s twice or maybe three times. I can't remember what Kenny was saying. At least twice he's been 12.
Yeah.
That's pretty that's solid. And
my other sleeper is $1 pays 201, Tom Hoagie.
Hoagie.
Let's go.
Let's go. Support the podcast, S&P to right. The death, man. Little Scott Hamilton right there.
I like it. So, and I do like my team that I've picked for our DK league. We don't have to get into that now. We can get into that a little bit later. But, yeah, Tom Hoagie, Kevin Na. Those are my sleepers for the week.
Silly. So, my two top dogs, I'll give you two of them. You mentioned one. Obviously played great. He moved up to number 6, I believe, in the world golf rankings this year. He's got a nice haircut. And above that, his short game is absolutely filthy, is your boy Cam Smith. Dude, he's been up there close. He was second the year Tiger won, or when was he second? He was second or third one of the past. Oh, when not, it was the follow-up, 2020, I think.
When DJ won.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then last year, I think he was 6th. So,
and there has been some players championship winners that have won the Masters. I just saw that on the Golf Channel the other day. It's Freddie, Tiger, Phil has done it in the same year. I forget a couple of those, like two other people. So it's not like one of those weirdo things that you win the players and then you don't win anything else the rest of the year, you know?
Yeah, he finished 10th last year. I think he was 2nd the year before. I think he played well on Sunday. I think he struggled early on. But you look at the guys that are on the leaderboard last year other than Hideki. Zalatoris was 2. Spieth was 3 along with Schauffele. That's some guy that nobody's talking about. Right. John Rahm's up there. Now, he played really well on Sunday. I'm not saying I wouldn't pick Rahm. I'm just not sold on his putting right now. And if you can't putt around Augusta, I think you're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we heard it straight from Kenny last week that putting wins these. He's like, all these guys are good. We all know that. They're all phenomenal. But unless your putting is on point, there's no chance. Like the years that Ned Spieth and them have played well, putted well. When Tiger's won well, he's generally putted well.
Yep. I'm wondering
Cam Smith has been like putting his ass off. I mean, you can't doubt it.
I'm wondering how Robert McIntyre plays, because he played well there last year. He was T12 along with Kevin. Played well lately.
Yeah, I like Bob McIntyre. He's
Bob McIntyre.
He could be a miscut, I feel like, or he could be a top 15 type deal. You know, it's one or the other. I mean, I saw him working on the range at the Genesis. Man, he's a good young player. He's going to be good for a long time. He hasn't quite hit his big spark that lets everybody know who he is quite yet, except for more than casual golf fans know about him. But I like that thought. And then my other top one, let me see what you think about this, is Brooks. Brooks Koepka has been up there. He's teased at a Masters win several years in a row. But, I mean, he's just like it's either hit or miss, one of those things. I mean, I'm going all in on saying that he might win because he has shown a little bit glimpses of his own old self. I mean, at Austin, he would, especially with that match with DJ, like that was one that he was real focused in, kind of like the same focus that he shows for the majors, I felt like. So little glimpses there. I mean, he's had a couple decent finishes, couple not so decent finishes. He's missed a few cuts here and there and also not played well from time to time. But I think he's shown enough to me of glimpses of old Brooks. So I'm going to throw it all in and say Brooks might win it.
What do you think about, and I haven't put any money on him, what do you think about Rory? I mean, Rory, I was a little, I'll be honest, I was disappointed that he did not, I was disappointed he did not play well last week at the Valero. I was a little surprised he played, but I was also disappointed he didn't play well.
His putting, dude. But I don't think he can do it.
He strikes the ball so flipping. I mean, granted, they all strike the ball well, but watching him swing, like his swing is just so smooth, and he can get around there. But I think for him, he's got to get off to a good start, and he's got to stay even keel the entire time. Because if he gets off to a bad start, then and that's the past couple of years, he's gotten off to a bad start, and I just feel like he's clawing his way back, and then it's too late.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, it's just a shame almost watching him play. Because his swing, like you said, it's perfect. I mean, he has an amazing golf swing. Everybody would want to have that golf swing. It even sometimes looks as good or better than Tiger's to me. It's a beautiful swing. Like the way he brings in, how much force he carries through, but it doesn't look forced, you know. But I just don't think he has the, like I just said, I don't think he has the putting consistently to win. I mean, if he has a streaky day, sure, or a streaky weekend. But I don't think he can consistently do it. At least what I've seen is just they always are talking about, okay, Rory putted well. Hey, Rory hasn't – I feel like he hasn't putted well since the Players, when he won the Players. Now, if he puts like he did there, sure. But, I mean, you just got to be consistent. And I don't – to be honest, I don't think he's strong enough to get past those Masters demons, dude. I don't know if – I think he's going to be like a Phil Mickelson that – will win it at some point, but it's going to be a while. Like, I don't think it's – I can't jump to it. I can't count him out. I mean, he's kind of like a DJ or one of those. I mean, he has the talent to do it, but we'll see, you know. I just don't think he's going to pull it together.
I would not count DJ out as well as he played it at the Dell match play a couple weeks ago. I know he ran into Scotty and probably should have had that match going, kept going a little bit, but I think – they're getting a lot of rain down there right now. So the course is going to be soft, I think, for the first couple of days. I looked at the radar about a half hour ago, and I was like, man, I mean, they've had some really bad weather roll through Augusta and Georgia and South Carolina. So,
well, yeah, I had some of it in Florida, you know, at least glimpses of it, and it's coming up the coast. Yeah, it's just been nonstop little bits of storm. So, which leads me to my sleeper. I got a couple sleepers. If it's soft, the boy's been throwing darts for the last – year and a half, basically, or 2 years, has actually made it been more now than a Twitter star. He's actually played really well as Max Homa. His irons are silly. So if he can throw darts at the pin, he can putt well. So he can make a run. I put half dollar on him wins 35.50. I mean, he doesn't have phenomenal sleeper odds, but you know, if you put a buck on him when, you know, basically 70 bucks, that's pretty silly. And then I got to keep rolling every year with this is my other sleeper, the Aiken, South Carolina boy, Kevin Kisner, dude.
It's a home tournament for him.
Yeah.
Ain't no hobby kids.
Dude, he was just – I mean, he's up there every year pretty much there. He just hasn't won. He hasn't had, I don't think, any top tens maybe, or maybe he has. But when I was just watching 2019, just before we got on, I think he was somewhat up in the mix, like top 15. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's a home match. Eventually, I feel like if he's going to win a major, it's going to be at Augusta. So close to his That'd home. He's used to that type of a place. He putts amazing. He has a great short game, which is two things that you have to have at Augusta. You have to chip well and you have to putt well. And you don't have to be exceptionally long. Now, they've extended it at certain areas, but it's still not your U.S. Open venues. I don't think he'll win a U.S. Open. He just doesn't have the length. But I think he could win a Masters. So, that's my
I know we'll talk about some of the changes in a little bit. I'm curious to see how they do play out for some of the players. You know, some of the things they've done are – I think three, they've done some stuff. I know 11, they've lengthened. 15, they did a few things, lengthened it. We can talk about that a little bit more in depth. Sure. But Masters Week is here.
Masters Week.
Part three tomorrow.
And just like last week, guess we got us a new caddy coming on this week. We're doing a little caddy series, just getting some inside scoop on the player relationship leading up to the Masters. So we just wanted to keep it going. We got Alex Ritt-Hamel. He's been a caddy on the tour for several years. I think at least about a decade. And he's going to join us, talk some golf. He's caddy for several pros along the way. So let's tune in. Alex, what's up, man? You hear us?
Yeah. How you guys doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, bud. Thanks for you guys coming on, man. So we've been doing a little caddy series, Shotgun Mulligan. So we wanted to bring you on. We know you've been caddying for a long time, and buddy Dustin here. So how you guys doing this evening? Pleasure to have you.
Yeah, not too bad. How about you guys?
Doing Can't good. Beat Masters League, man. What's better?
Yeah, we were debating this the other day.
Better when you're there.
Yeah, I bet. Have you been there? Have you caddied at the Masters yet?
Haven't caddied there before. I've been there before. Solo went on the PGA Tour. By the time things had rolled around, my player and I had split. So haven't had the opportunity to work there yet, but it's a pretty sweet place.
I bet. Yeah, Stats has had the opportunity to go. He saw Tigers win 2019.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Nice. Yeah.
But
my cousin was there with my cousin his first time. We're staying on 18, so it was a pretty special moment.
That's a cool place to be.
So, Alex, man, how long have you been doing? You've been over a decade or so as a professional caddy?
Yeah, I started in 2009. It was, we'll call it part-time, the first kind of 3.5-4 years. Took a break. Dustin and I had met playing golf and probably get into that, but we went to Charlotte, tried to play a little on a mini tour back there, and clearly wasn't good enough. And then since about mid-13, been back full-time doing it.
That's sick, man. Because I know you've had several, you know, different professionals. What's been the best time that you've had so far in your career? I mean, like, what's your best moment?
Hard to say. Yeah, it's tough. You know, I know Kenny was on. Kenny and I are buddies. Known him quite a while. And it's one of those things you'd like to get that same guy for 14 years.
Right.
It's tough. That doesn't happen very often. And I've worked for some great guys, very different personalities. The best thing for me is probably first PGA Tour win was Hilton Head. It's a unique experience. You know, you kind of the last 5-6 holes, you're really in it, and it's a different focus you have. And then when it happened, we had to wait around for about 20-25 minutes. And when it happened, it's very surreal. It was very cool.
So does that like change? Does the whole vibe change in those last several holes between, you and your player, you know, when you all got that win, or is it pretty much the same? You're just super focused.
Yeah. I mean, you're definitely always focused, you know, it's
right.
The job, you have to kind of be on your game. I worked for CT Pan for a year. We won at Hilton Head in 2019, week after I got, and we got to 14. We got to actually 13 green. I don't know if you guys know Hilton Head, Harbor Town very well. 13 is one with the railroad ties in the front.
Yeah.
Super bunker. And we had hit it in the right trees, and we had birdied 10 and we had birdied 12, but there's no scoreboards between 10 and 13. So you don't know where you stand.
Right.
And we got back to 13 and we'd hit it long to the front pin. Didn't have much of an option, just kind of all it was. And when you walk on to the back of 13 green, you can see the scoreboard on 14 tee. I figured when we got there, we'd be like T2, maybe a shot back. And we were solo lead over Lowry. And then I think two ahead of third.
Oh, wow.
So it kind of it changes your attitude.
Right.
You have to make sure, you know, obviously you're trying to keep your player calm, but you have to make sure everything is level-headed for you. And saw that. And you definitely kind of get out of caddying.
Mm-hmm.
And you get more into, hey, let's make sure that his heart rate's lower than mine. Let's make sure that he's kind of focused on not necessarily a golf shot, but just where we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, it definitely the last hour was different. But it was
You get locked in more. Not that you're not locked in already, but you're kind of lasered in, locked in a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. I guess you're thinking, weirdly enough, you're thinking more clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not kind of focused on one or two things. You can definitely see everything, and you know, hopefully you can see everything, and you just kind of bounce off of that.
Are you really checking the leaderboard and like keeping him updated quite a bit, or are you just trying to not focus on that? Because I've always wondered whether you guys are really paying attention a whole lot that final round, or whether it's kind of just glancing, sort of seeing where you're at and just keep rolling with what you're doing.
I would say players are different. But I think as a caddy, you're definitely aware, because you get to certain courses and maybe you have three easy holes to finish versus three hard holes to finish, and it affects how you are on 14 and 15. So I would say player obviously dependent, but more than less, caddies are the ones that are, hey, I got to know where we're at, because if he's trying to attempt some stupid shot,
right,
and we make a bogey, and a bogey still gives us a two-shot lead with three holes to go, chip the ball out there and hit it on the green.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
So how's it feel to be sponsored by Tequila Company? I love it. Thanks for joining us today, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, I know this is not visual for everybody, but I have my hat. I've got a nice pour of Añejo in front of me. It's great. Dustin and I have been friends for quite a long time now. And he got involved with this tequila company a few years ago. And it was easy for me. You know, I'd kind of been wearing the Valspar. Valspar is a great sponsor for the caddies. They treat us very well. We have probably 3 to 4 dinners every year, which whether you're involved in the program or not, if you ever were, you're always welcome. And it's been great. I'm a big bourbon guy. And Dustin got me kind of tequila train.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, we love some bourbon, but yeah, I wanted to hear some more about tequila. You know, I want to get into it. I like some spicy margaritas, but I also like to try it on the rocks, man.
We'll get you guys some samples out.
Yeah, I'll let D tell you tequila. You can ask him some tequila questions, but I know he's okay with mixing most of it. But it's a high end, not you know price wise high end, but it's a high end quality tequila. I'm not a mixer. I love a good margarita, but you can drink the Blanco, the Repo, the Añejo, like clean as can be, no ice, anything.
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, because I want a tequila that you can drink like a bourbon, you know. So just like same kind of thing. Yeah. I want to get into it.
Yeah, no, it's. I think the easiest transition from bourbon is to tequila, and the reason being is how tequila is aged. I would say. Maybe not so much a Blanco, just because it is a more crisp a spirit in terms of just the profile, and it doesn't really match what a bourbon is. But for our tequila in particular, and a lot of tequila brands, we actually use a lot of very good bourbon brands, X barrels. And so you do get a lot of those elements that you do get in a bourbon, in a tequila. And I was a bourbon guy like Alex, before I moved into the tequila space. The thing that I enjoy more about agave spirits than bourbon in general is just the flavor range, and complexity differences that you can taste from the same crop across different brands that are all doing it really well, but with different processes. And so like with bourbon, the flavor range of profiles in this track,
yeah,
and agave spirits is here.
That's like awesome.
I'm not even drinking my own tequila right now, because I have a collection of almost 110 tequilas in my house.
It's a little ridiculous.
I'm a big agave nerd, and right now I'm not even drinking my own tequila, but I have three overproof tequilas sitting next to me, and they're all incredibly different. Like mm-hmm. the first one that I poured, you get notes of cinnamon. Like you don't, and that's not even an aged spirit. It's straight from the still into the bottle, and this one's 50.5%. The other one has a lot more minerality, a lot more sweetness, some even some vanilla notes. And the other one, it drinks more closer to like a gin even. So agave spirits are super awesome. Like Alex mentioned, we've known each other for forever. I think the first time I met him was maybe even in high school, and we're in our mid-30s now. But it just made sense, you know, as a washed up, you know, hack that plays golf like three times a year now, because with two businesses to run, it's pretty challenging to get out there. You know, it just made sense. Follow golf religiously. I'm probably more of a golf nerd than I want to admit. I can see a player walking down the fairway and just know who it is just by their gait. It's not really something that I admit very often, but, you know, I love it. I love what building a tequila brand represents as it relates to being an independent contractor or caddy on the PGA Tour, right? You have to earn your merit.
Right.
And in the spirits world, with over 2,600 brands on the U.S. market, you don't just come out and are the best tequila. You have to earn that respect from the consumers, just same way you have to earn that respect as a caddy by the players. You know, you don't just come out on tour and grab Tiger's bag and be like, yo, Tigers, let's go get right. Diamond. You know? It's just not how it takes time. And Alex is building that craft for, you know, 10 years. And, you know, he's lucky to have been able to work with, you know, a handful of really solid players. And, you know, him and Curtis, I think, have something really good going on right now in terms of just like on-course camaraderie. You know, a lot of the, you know, I think there's two different players on the PGA Tour. There's a player that just wants you to shut up, get you his number, and carry his bag. And then there's a player on tour that actually views their caddy as a team member. Right. And for me personally, I think the players that view their caddy as a team member and an integral part of their success are the ones that end up having really good caddy relationships. The Paul Tesoris of the world, you know, the Bones McKay with Phil, you know, John Wood with Kuchar for all those years, and Mahan, and like those, you know, Ted Scott with Bubba, like
right.
those guys. Those players will admit on camera and off camera that without those guys caddying for them, they wouldn't have been as successful.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, like, these guys are professionals too. You know, they might be thinking or seeing something that you're not seeing. And at the end of the day, you know, four eyes and a different perspective, you know, Alex is, and a lot of these players, Joe Greiner, who I, you know very well, caddies for Max Homa, who have competed against Max Homa, like, they're friends. And I think that camaraderie that you build with your player helps in moments when you are coming down the stretch, right? Get your mind away from the stress. You know, you don't need, some players focus between shots, but like, I don't believe in that type of mindset. I think the players that are the most mentally strong are the ones that can get away, you know, in the middle of in between shots and then regroup.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, we were talking with Kenny last week, and I don't know if you all heard it, but you know, he's working with Hill, and Alex, you could kind of allude to this too, is he said Hill, I think, started one final round. I think he doubled or tripled the first hole. He's like, dude, let's just get on the plane. Like, let's get the fuck out of here. Like, we got to go. Yeah. And then he said, you know, I let him chill for a couple holes. And then he said, I just started talking to him about all the things he loved in his life, and just getting his head out of the game for a second, and then he ended up winning the tournament. So it's just, how many of the, you had get those experiences every now and then where you just got to pull your player out of it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's very different, obviously, player to player. And I do want to throw Kenny under the bus for a bit. I know he probably won't listen. So last week, I'm not a podcast guy. I came on, listen to Kenny's, and you guys were talking about longest combinations on tour. And it'd be very abysmal for me not to mention a good buddy of mine, Michael Hartford. We all call him H. He caddies for Pat Perez.
Oh,
they are actually the longest combination on tour, caddy duo on tour. H was a great player, and Pat was just a little bit better. And when Pat went to Q School, finished, came onto the, at that time, I think it was the Nike Tour still. And they've been together since. I think they've been together 25-ish years.
Wow.
You know, which says a lot about, hey, a great relationship, but someone that understands as well, hey, we can have success. Just because we struggle a little bit doesn't mean I need to go figure something out. Maybe I'm just struggling at the time. Side note. But yeah, you definitely have that jump in. You have to jump into a guy's mind sometimes. Curtis is a little bit more, just a little different player. CT, funny story, on 16, Fluff worked for CT the year before me, and this was when Jim was doing Ryder Cup stuff, so he wasn't really playing. And we used to play Trinity Forest after in Dallas, after Las Colinas, before he moved to Craig Ranch now. And the seventh hole's a par five. For a longer hitter, it's a 3-wood and a long iron, a kind of a two-tiered fairway.
Mm-hmm.
And CT pulled driver out. He asked Fluff, hey, and I heard this story from both of them. And he asked us, hey, what is it here? Fluff says, it's driver. And Fluff's a smoker on the golf course. And he, you know, kind of turns around. CT puts the ball on the ground. Fluff walks away and kind of looks out in the distance. He turns around and CT's over the ball. And he's got 3-wood in his hand. And Fluff didn't even know he had changed clubs. And Fluff looked at him and said, hey, what the fuck are you doing? And CT backed off the ball. And they both kind of told me, they could chuckle for a second. And CT was like, I just don't like driver. I like 3-wood. And, you know, Fluff's been around for 40 years.
Right.
And CT hit 3-wood off the tee, 3-wood onto the green to like 30 feet, 2-putted for birdie. And Fluff will tell the story and say, I was wrong. What are you going to do? But he's like, hey, man up, hit the shot. So 16, we had just made bogey on 15, par 5 at Harbortown. And he had pushed the shot way out right. And we get on the fairway on 16, and we were tied for league with Cooch. I think it was Cooch, actually, who had just finished. And we get on the fairway. We have – it's split between his sand wedge and pitching wedge. And he was like, hey, like, what are we doing here? Like, what kind of shot is this? Just soft wedge. And I looked at him, and I was like, would Fluff tell you to be a pussy right now or hit the shot? And basically it came down to that. And he hit the full sandwich to 8 to 10 feet, made the putt, and that put us back in the lead. Made an extraordinary par on 17 and lipped out on 18. And that was a tournament. So you definitely get them situationally different.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if your player is quieter, you don't need to say as much, whether you're in it or not. And sometimes you need to say more if your player needs you to say more. So it's very dependent. But yeah, I mean, you go through quite a few situations a year where you notice, hey, like, I've got to say something, not serious, not funny, but get him to pay attention to what I'm saying and only focus on that as far as the game goes and not the shot.
Can you talk about, you've worked with a couple of different people, how, like, you've been with Curtis for a short period of time. How long does it take you to know his nuances and when to speak up more, when to speak less? when, like exactly what you're saying, getting get him to pay attention. How long does it take? You know, is that a several tournament thing or is it a couple week thing?
Yeah, I would say it's dependent on your prior relationship with the player. Sometimes you're friends with these guys, right? And it's a fraternity for sure. You get, let's just say there's 200 players. There's probably 240 caddies. So you all know each other and you're around each other. You play with each other. So you might have been on course with that guy a multitude of times before you worked for him. Like CT and I, we had been out a bunch together. So I kind of knew how he operated. And then you get other guys. I worked for Matt Jones for a while and obviously one of the fastest players on tour. He doesn't need you to say a lot at all. You get to the ball, you give him information that he asked for, and he might be pulling the trigger while people are talking. So I would say it can be if you 2 to 3, 4 weeks is really, if you know the guy, you know, a couple of weeks. If you don't really know him, you hadn't been around him a ton, 4 to 5 weeks, you can kind of pick up on if you're paying attention to, hey, like bad shot, how do they react? Or if you're in a decent position, how do they react to a good shot, bad shot? You definitely are paying attention more that first month to just try to pick up on the little subtleties.
Very good. Very good. I was curious about that because I feel like that could be, like you said, it could be a quick thing or it could be a little bit longer thing. And obviously in your profession, if it's a little bit longer, then you know, you're kind of working a little bit harder to kind of figure it out a little bit quicker. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I was like wondering what's the hardest part of your all's, is it your prep? Is it end game, you know, golf strategy and things like that? What's probably the most difficult, would you say?
I mean, prep is definitely key. I think, you know, if you don't go, guys don't like every course, right? So you're not going to play well every week. We had made 6 cuts in a row coming into Valero last week. And I knew he didn't like the golf course. He had told me he didn't like the golf course. And he, you know, to his credit, you try to tell yourself, hey, I like this place. I can see the shots. I can do this. And just sometimes you can't. So, yeah, I mean, prep is big. I think knowing each other on the course is a big part. You know, I would say for a lot of guys that don't realize, a good caddy player pairing is 90% personality matchup. When you get out there, you know what you're doing, right? You know how to caddy, you know how to help a guy around a golf course. It's more of, do you guys get along on the golf course? Do you make sure things are even keel at the time where it needs to be? So yeah, I mean, it's a little of this, a little of that.
So to change it up just a little bit with the Masters week, who do you guys think are going to win it? I know if Curtis was in it, then you'd be for your dude. But
I'm hopefully you don't have too many listeners because I'm going to throw Dustin under the bus.
We right have now. A couple bets going right now.
Let's
so,
hear them.
So I'm a big Tiger. Look, Dustin and our friend Taco are big, big, big Tiger fans, and I love Tiger. I've known him a long time. Joe is a friend of mine, weirdly enough, through a family connection. And I'd love to say, oh, Tiger's going to win. Dustin and my buddy think they're going to win. I think it's a stretch. I mean, I know Tiger comes out and says, hey, I know I can win. I feel like I can win. You know, not playing a tournament in close to 18 months, showing up to play the probably hardest walk in golf, whether you know the course or not.
Right.
I think it's tough. I have a bet with Dustin and my buddy, 1 to 10. I think for some reason, I think someone from 6 to 10 in the world, just the makeup of them is really good. I think right. It's Cam Smith, DJ, JT, Rory, and Xander. Like they've that. All played well there. Their games kind of tailor to Augusta. If we get a little moisture on the ground, I think I just think those guys look very good.
Yeah,
Dustin can tell you all he wants. Tiger's going to win.
No, I just think, well, we do have a bet. It's a $10 bet that I pick Tiger to win, and he gets 1 through 10 in the world. but I get 10 to 1 odds. So if Tiger wins, I make $100 and he gets $10 if 1 through 10 wins. Look, you can't count Tiger out ever. He's proven us wrong, like more than 9 lives. The dude has 100 lives. Like we're talking 7 back surgeries and 19 knee operations. And like every time, like how many times has Brandel Chamblee, who I'm going to call out because he always talks about who the fuck to talk, and it's the next greatest player in the world is going to be him. And then he misses 19 cuts in a row and he's like throws him under the bus.
Right.
But Brandel wrote Tiger off like 17 times. And every time he's had to be like, that's Tiger Woods for you. Yeah, no shit. It is Tiger Woods for you. He won on a broken kneecap. Literally, Mark Rolfing.
Yes.
Like I said, I watch way more golf than I probably want to
just talked about this.
And he just said that on live from the Masters, he said that was the most impressive performance he's ever seen in the history of golf. And he said on multiple occasions when he was covering those rounds over the weekend at Torrey that he heard Tiger's knee physically crack while he was playing golf.
Not.
I mean, maybe anybody other than Rocco Mediate might have given him a little bit more a little bit Rocco. More stress. But Tiger's like, if I can't beat Rocco, who aims 40 yards right and plays a 60-yard pull hook, then like I obviously. But like that's you can't count him out. The guy, look, it was in the playoffs, what, in 2013 when he fell to his knees with the 3-wood in the fairway, I think it was, and that's when his back issues started. I mean, he's come back from everything. He's come back from everything. Everybody wrote him off in 2019 after his back surgery. He's never going to win again. And what did he do? He wins not only the Masters, he wins the Zozo right. and the Tour Championship. Three of the strongest fields all year.
That's crazy.
And look, Tiger wouldn't show up to Augusta with Charlie the week before. He wouldn't be there on Sunday grinding it out. He wouldn't have the world watching him hit balls if in his mind and in his heart he didn't believe that he could actually win. Like actually win.
I agree with you because let's ask you guys
what you think.
He could say, yeah, I'm here to win, whatever. But I agree with you. Like, yeah, he hasn't played in 17 months, but he didn't – I mean, he played 27 holes last Tuesday, apparently, because he went and played the par 3 course with Charlie because Charlie really needed to play. I mean, what 12-year-old wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah.
But I truly – I mean, I saw the pictures of him on Sunday show up at the range, and it's just – we've all – I think a lot of people said he's a newer Tiger, a newer version of himself. And I wouldn't put it beyond him. I'm sitting here in the hotel, and right before we jumped on, the front desk clerk, he goes – there's no way I can pick Tiger and make a bet on him. I was like, why wouldn't you? Like, I would bet. Absolutely. I bet on him.
Yeah, I got my money on him.
Bet on him.
Yeah, I
got the best part of him being, what, 900 and something in the world now is I'm in a couple pools. He's at the bottom pick. So it's a no-brainer bottom pick. I don't have to chew up a top 50 guy for him.
Well, I mean, you saw the stats of these, like, 23 starts and 19 top 10s or something in the match.
Only one missed cut. Yeah, it's just 14 top 10s out of 23 starts.
Yeah, 14. And then he's made the cut every year but once. And then
his scoring average.
Hard to root against the guy.
Average is almost an entire shot better than Phil and Jack.
Tiger's probably already leading the pit for this year.
Well, Dustin, did you see the comparison of Tiger and Jack's, like, major stats come up today? It was basically Tiger's played half of the starts that Jack has and basically has the same stats.
Yeah, no, Tiger's – I mean – I go down the stats list quite frequently. We play a couple games.
Ridiculous golf junkie. Like,
yeah, we play a couple of games.
He'll wins event and win like wins total money, and he'll pop it off in a couple guesses. Like, it's kind of weird, to be honest.
At the PGA Tour app, when you click a player's name and it pulls up, and if you scroll down to their bottom, it gives you a snapshot. It gives you their year to date. Top 10s wins and money, and then it gives career top 10s wins and money. So, you know, I always like, let's see how Chucky Three Sticks is doing, you know? So, like, I'll pop on there and, like, see. And I have a photographic memory, so I just tend to store these stats in my brain. And what we do is we play a game where we just screenshot that bottom portion just below the player's name and send it to each other and see who can, like, one win, 17 top tens, 137 starts, 9 million. Who is that? Like, what?
And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how good he is, guys. It's kind of weird.
He's taking my name away.
It's kind of weird. Are you in Augusta right now?
No, I'm sitting in a Hampton Inn in Charlottesville. I'm down here with my family, so.
Spring Creek Golf Club.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to play there. Is it sick?
I don't know if it's any good anymore. Dustin and I played an event there. It's one of the best golf courses I've ever seen. This
was up in Gordonsville.
Gordonsville. Yeah. Yeah, just 20 minutes from Charlottesville. It's one of the best courses I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've been wanting to check that out. They're about to go private, so I've been wanting to play before they go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But yeah, we were talking. So you asked our pick. So, you know, before we let you all go, so I like the Cam Smith. I'm thinking like the top guys. We're thinking Cam Smith. I like Xander as well. And then Sam Burns. What do you think about Sam Burns? I was just thinking of that one too. Dude's a stud.
Sam's good, man. I've been fortunate to know him for a while and been around him personally. And the kid, it was always good coming out of college. Obviously, Curtis, LSU, same connection. And everybody's always known he was good. And when he hooked up with Travis, his current caddy, Travis Perkins, who played on tour for a handful of years, very good player. When they hooked up, something just clicked. And I wouldn't be surprised if Sam was up on top of that leaderboard toward the end of the weekend. He is a hell of a player.
One thing I think about Sam, one, he's got a great caddy on the bag now who has a ton of experience. But one thing you need at Augusta that I think he has when I watch him is he has phenomenal speed control, like from event to event. Like I've seen him, you know, obviously, you know, putts get away from you and that happens. Like, you know, you make a boo-boo and that's fine. But overall, like, his speed control is usually dead weight, and that's what you need at Augusta. If you're putting aggressively at Augusta, you're just going to catch lips all day, and you're going to putt it off the green in 15, like Race Creek, you're done. Like, you can't be putting aggressively, and I think he has the right tempo of stroke. He has a beautiful putting stroke, and he just has a good feel on the greens. And he's, I mean, how do you argue with someone that's, you know, it's like almost like a not as quick and as crazy, but like almost like a Scottie Scheffler rise, you know, three wins in, you know, less than 12 months.
Yeah, good young player of the game, man. I love watching him. He's got vicious speed through his driver too, man. His coil, dude unleashes on the ball.
He gets after it.
And his swing, I remember when Alex was caddying for CT, he got me range credentials for a few days. And I remember just like nerding out. I think I was standing inside of where Joe LaCava was standing when Tiger was hitting balls. And I was like, someone's for sure going to ask me to move. But I got like sick down the line slow-mos that I still have on my phone that I watch. I'm like, damn, you're so good. But I remember standing behind Sam Burns for a while. And this was in 2009. I think it was his second year on tour.
19,
His swing mechanically has gotten so much better, to the point where it's like it's rock solid now. Before, it used to be a little outside and up, and now he's right on that plane, and he's just delivering the club head just super consistently every time. And he's a great iron player, and you know, they talk about second shots and putting at Augusta. So I don't know if I'm going to pick him. I think he's sitting right now at 11 in the world. 11 through 20 is pretty stacked. I got to see who I'm going to take. I always wait for my Masters picks to see who wins the par three, because I won't pick them.
that's a good strategy.
It won't be on my list. So one day someone will break the curse, but I'm hoping not, because it's really fun. It's like, you know, the Great Bambino and all that kind of stuff.
Keep it going. Dustin, where can we get your all's tequila?
So I'll make a quick plug, because it's super fun to nerd out on golf, and I nerd out on tequila plenty in my day-to-day. But our tequila is super easy to find. You can buy it directly from our website at tequilacabal.com. We ship to 48 states direct to your door. And then if you live in the following states, California, Arizona, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, and soon to be Arkansas, go onto our website and hit the Find Us button, type in a zip code or a city, and it'll show you the nearest liquor store. We're definitely expanding quickly, moving into Tennessee, Michigan, Washington State, and probably New Jersey by the end of this year. Oklahoma and Arkansas are coming up soon as well. We'd love for you guys to reach out to our tequila page. It's at Tequila Cabal. Definitely give us a follow for cool updates and things that are coming out. We have a mezcal dropping pretty soon, which we're super excited about. And we're doing some really, really awesome barrel programming this year. I know you guys are big bourbon guys. One of them that I'm really excited about, I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but I think it's backed by you guys, St. Cloud. It's a beautiful, beautiful bourbon. I would say it's a little bit more of an elevated Little Book by Booker's. If you know Little Book by Booker's, it's a little cleaner, in my opinion. It's got beautiful notes of sherry. It just drinks really beautiful. Right now, it's a he has 100 proof out, and it's a 4-year, and it's a sleeper pick. It's right around $100, but we just exported to Mexico 8 of his barrels, so we're going to be doing single barrel releases with that this year that we're super excited about. But yeah, just give us a follow, reach out to me, Dustin Schweitzer _ or Cabal Caddy, or Tequila Cabal. We love to chat. We love to, share stories, we're super humbled just by, people reaching out and saying hi. It's cool seeing the people that, I've known Alex for a long time, and people reach out and like think he's like famous. And I'm like, this guy sucks. Like what? I'm like, wait, someone, like people send stuff on Instagram, like pictures, like, yo, I saw you in the, like, I was in the gallery at the Honda, or I saw you at Valspar, and like, dude, I love, like, just like some of the compliments. I'm just like, people actually like, and that's also one of the reasons why I sponsored Alex, is like, I'm a nerd too. Like there's a lot of golf nerds out there. Like I pay attention to even what the caddies are sponsoring. Like who's sponsoring these caddies? Like, and I'll take a look at it. And so, we know there's one other tequila owner out there on tour, Abraham Answer, who owns Flecha Azul, another great brand, another really good kid. I support everything that they're doing. I know they got Mark Wahlberg in their corner now, which I think will certainly help their brand grow. But it's just cool to see, another guy on tour that believes in kind of doing things the right way. I look forward to the time when Alex and Abraham are in the final group on Sunday, and they're both coming down rocking two different tequila hats, and we're both just getting epic millions of views. Just like the tequila off, coming down 18. So that would be super cool. I would love to meet Abraham one day. Yeah, he just seems like a really genuine human being, and just cool to support other brands that just care about their craft.
Awesome, man. Yeah, Alex, we can see you guys at the Wells Fargo. Is Curtis planning on coming up?
Yeah, we're going to play. I think we're not in Hilton Head, so we'll play 4 in a row. We'll play Zurich, the New Mexico tournament. We'll could definitely be up in D.C. and then Dallas after that.
Awesome, brother.
Awesome.
You guys going to be out?
Yeah, man. We'll be out there, brother.
Okay, come find me. Yeah, we'll be there.
Hell yeah, man. Well, thank you guys for taking your time to come on.
Appreciate it, guys. We appreciate it.
Stats, what an interview, man. Dude. Alex and Dustin, dude, that was sick.
Alex and Dustin, two cool cats. Dustin's my new favorite friend, talking all the stats. We're going to have to change my name to something else, and he's going to be Dustin _stats at Tequila Cabal. I mean, he's rattling off stuff. That's the stuff that I live for, just looking at PGA Tour. But I did like what he said, how he screen captures it and sends it out to all the friends, and you have to figure out who's had the most career earnings. I thought that's pretty cool. We're going to have to start doing that.
And that they actually can guess them pretty well. Yeah. Alex is like, dude, Dustin gets it more than you would think.
I love it.
That's right up your alley, brother.
That's right.
Good. It's going to be a good listen, man. But to keep going on the master stock, we got to keep it rolling. And to close this podcast out, I wanted to get your rapid fire DK picks. I mean, people are all putting in their bets. Everybody's doing their bets with their buddies, their group bets, their DK bets, their things against the sports book. So what do you got, Stats? What's your rapid fire DK lineup this week? I'm interested.
rapid fire DK lineup. Cheapest, $7,000, Robert McIntyre. 7,300, Mark Leishman. 7,600, Corey Connors. 7,800, Russell Henley. That's a sleeper. I need to make a bet on him. Jumping all the way up to 9,900. And this is where I'm kind of wavering a little bit. Because at 9,800, I could pick this guy. 9,900, I could pick this guy. So I'm going with my boy JT Jackson gave me some advice and said, you got to pick Cam Smith at 9,900. So I picked Cam Smith at 9,900. And then rounding out my team with 10,300 is the other JT, Justin Thomas. That's my right. team. Yeah.
You know, I latched onto that and I completely forgot. So I do like a lot of those picks. A couple of them, it's like hit or miss. You know, like Henley played well in the – like was killing in the fall, and he hasn't played quite as well, right, the last couple weeks?
Yeah, he's played okay. I mean, I don't think he's played as great. I don't even know if he's played at the C. He's got 13th at the Players, 13th at the Bay Hill, 33rd at the Genesis. So, okay. Tough track. So, I mean – and Leishman seemed to always play well there.
The one I liked was – that's what I was about to say – is the one I kind of latched onto was Leishman. I forgot how well he plays at the Masters, especially the last couple of years. And
yeah.
That's a good one. I didn't think about
it. Connors has turned it around a little bit too. He's been playing well as of late. So.
Yeah, I had Connors for the Austin match play. So, I like that, dude. Silly.
All right, what you got? Rapid fire.
Rapid fire. So, lowest at – I can't believe these two guys are this low. So I'll give you two at 6,800. Kevin Kisner, we talked about that earlier.
Yep.
Kevin Na, 6,800. Another super low guy. Another super low guy at 7,100 is Max Homa that I was teasing. Also, it is going to rain on Thursday morning. He's going to be sticking his irons just like the Titleist commercials. Sorry, this is rapid fire. I'm going
18 out of 18.
So, my top guys, top three, I got at 9,400, Brooks Koepka. 9,600, going up the chain. I did low, and then I got higher guys in the 9,000s. Xander Schauffele, 9,600. And your top dog, 9,900. I'm with you, stats. Cam Smith, the fisherman. I love it.
Yeah. So, for our boy Trackman, who's not on, he proposed the question – do you think they'll make him get a haircut before he puts the green jacket on? No chance. Although I saw the Masters Champions Dinner photo tonight, and your boy Adam Scott is clean shaven all of a sudden. He shaved the beard off. So maybe they said you got to clean it up before.
It's like the Yankees. Thing, dude. We'll see. Like, I think maybe, dude, as you say that, it comes up, like, right on the screen on Golf Channel, like, right in front of me. Seriously, that's so strange. Let me see. Oh, I missed Adam Scott. I just turned it off.
And I'm fired up for our listeners to hear the interview with Alex Rithamel and Dustin from Tequila Cabal. And then I'm fired up for the Masters. Like, I told the family we're jet-setting out of here from Charlottesville on 9 a.m. so I can get home by 11. Tiger tees off at 10:34. I'll be camped out. I got opening day on one TV, and I got the Masters on a couple other TVs, hopefully. So I'm all locked in. I'm ready to go. Let's go.
Dude, I'm ready. I turned on 2019 Masters prior to the interview, and then now we're chatting golf. We chatted golf with Alex and Dustin. I'm chatting golf with you. I'm going to watch some more Golf Channel. Like, let's go. We're live
Live from the vines. And you know what Tiger's not going to have any problem with this weekend?
What's that?
Getting up and down.
Get up and down.
Because he's going to stick them on the greens, baby.
Let's go.